Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple, with your hosts, Jeff Gamet and Brian Chaffin.
Today is April Fool's Day, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 167, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Steve Jobs, and I invented the iPad.
And I'm Steve Wozniak, doppelganger. To get the full story here on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM.
Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew.
At macobserver.com. Thank you, Melissa.
Best gunshots ever.
You know, I only do this podcast anymore so that I can hear Melissa shoot her guns. And there's nothing euphemistic about that.
I know.
There's no innuendo whatsoever with me having said that. I love you, Melissa. Call me.
Call me, too.
Hey, Charlie. How you doing, buddy? Yeah. So, now, we just did a podcast just a couple of days ago, Jeff.
So we did.
So what the hell are we doing here again?
We wanted to hear Melissa's voice.
Oh, right. Excellent.
I thought we just established that.
We did just establish that.
Yeah. But we also couldn't stay away. I mean, with all the iPad stuff going on, how could we not do another podcast before the iPad launch?
Yeah, and that's as you probably saw when you looked at this podcast, it is called the what do we call it?
We're calling it the pre iPad launch mega extravagant extravaganza. I think that's the first time I've been able to say it without getting all tongue tied
and laughing. Yeah, that's right. A pretty silly name, but we're basically going to talk about
the Nexus One.
Yeah, about the iPad. Wait. I mean, we know there's you know, most of us are about to get one. I'm not, but we'll get to that in a minute. Most of us are about to get one, and we know that a lot of people have questions because a lot of people are asking us questions. So we thought we'd look at some of the things that you're going to need to think about as you get your iPad on Saturday.
I think that sounds brilliant.
All righty. Well, then why don't we just have our formal introduction and just dig right in?
I think that sounds great, too. In this special edition of the Apple Context Machine, we take a look at what's in store when you get your iPad this Saturday, including what accessories you might be interested in, depending on how you plan to use your brand new, magical, and revolutionary tablet. You know what would be awesome is if we had a recording of Doug Henning going, "It's magic."
That would actually not be awesome, because then we'd have a recording of Doug Henning saying it's magic.
Okay. It's a double-edged sword. I will admit that, yes. And right now, there's a whole slew of people Googling Doug Henning, it's magic.
Right. By the way, I meant to actually kind of put this in the introduction, but I changed microphones. Not because there was the Yeti is a really great product. I'm really, really impressed with it. The problem is that my particular environment does not make for any kind of condenser microphone to record with, and especially one that has a desktop stand, which is one of the things that I liked most about it because it has such a small footprint. But yeah. I was just picking up too much noise. My desk is too large, and you know, it like sounds, you know, telegraph through it, and so I'm back on my Heil, which hopefully sounds better, and there should be a lack of noise this time around.
I know from my end, it sounds like you are completely isolated in your cone of silence,
which is good. Now the only thing I have to worry about is the microphone cable banging into the stand, which was the one source of noise that I had forgotten about how much I hated with my old setup. But the PR30, I think, is what I'm using. It's either that or the 40. It's the 40. Could, is a great microphone too.
Yeah, you know how you could avoid worrying about the cable banging into the stand?
Do tell.
Go down to like a hobby store and buy some rubber foam sheet and wrap it around your microphone stand where the cable would otherwise hit it.
Duh. That's a great idea. I'll do that. All right. So anyway, just wanted to explain that to folks in case I know the last couple I had quite a bit of noise, and that should be gone now. And that's why I wanted to say it.
Well, you sound absolutely splendid.
Thank you. All righty. So let's start with the one thing. You know, Jeff and I were putting together our notes for this show, and we kind of started off with, you know, what do people need to you know, what do they need to get with their iPad to start off with? Because, you know, it's a new platform. We know that people are thinking this. Again, this is the kind of questions that we've been getting, and it's the very first thing that we thought about on our own as well. So we started putting together this huge, massive, large, giant, enormous, ginormous, really immense, big list of just a few things.
All right, I have to stop you for just a second, because you know where I am in the TMO Central Towers, I have a nice view looking out on an open space and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm looking out the window. It's sunny outside, and all of a sudden, just a wall of snow started falling.
Oh, very nice.
It's
very
crazy. Nice. I'm sitting here looking at beautiful sun and you know, nice spring day, and it's snowing like crazy. Just out of the blue.
I'm on a Mexican radio. Oh, that's Wall of Voodoo, not Wall of Snow.
That's Wall of Voodoo, not Wall of Snow. But,
my mistake.
Yeah. Okay, so anyhow, back to our shopping list that became extremely small.
Right. So Jeff and I, we came up with, we think, three of the primary places people will be using their iPads, at least initially.
Right. So that will be in their home or, mm-hmm. or office. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of lump those together. At their local coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And when traveling. So that could be like in the car, on the airplane.
Right. Right, right. And you can on the bus.
On the bus.
Train,
on the train.
In a boat.
Not on your bicycle.
With a moat.
Do you like green eggs and ham?
I do. I kind of cut several pages out of the story there.
That's okay. It was the abridged version.
It was the abridged version. So the first thing that we think that people are going to want is a case.
Right.
I don't think there's... I can understand people not wanting to get... Some people not wanting to get a case for their iPhone or iPod Touch, because it'll fit in their pocket.
Right. And it just, they have that really nice feel in your hand when they're not in a case.
Right. And they look so great.
Yeah, they really do.
And they're small. And I think that the iPad is a little bit different. And I think that the iPad is, you know, is big enough and is going to be not safe and secure in your pocket enough.
You better have a really big pocket if you're putting an iPad in there.
Exactly. That you're probably going to want a case for when you're not using it.
Right, because your iPad, when you're roaming around with it, it's probably going to end up in your backpack, in a big purse,
a table.
Yeah, it's going to end up sitting places either during transport or when you're using it, where it's more likely to get scratched or dinged up.
Yeah, it's someone knocking into it and sliding it across the table. Someone setting something down on it, not really paying attention to what they're doing, and just getting knocked off onto the floor. Again, like you said, in a backpack or in a purse, that sort of thing, where it can come into contact with other items. All these things, to me, make a case for the iPad a must-have.
Yeah, I have to agree. Now, the case that I'm most looking forward to seeing right now, actually, is Apple's own case. And that's the case that, unfortunately, isn't going to be available this Saturday.
Well, did you see that Dave got a note that his case went from not shipping to preparing to ship?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did see that. So I guess I should qualify what I'm saying by saying people that pre-ordered a case may very well have theirs on Saturday. People that did not probably won't be able to pick one up in the store, right, is what I'm thinking.
Right. And we think that the case is going to be used in all three of those applications. I mean, we think that well, if anything, though, the home is probably the one place where you can make the most argument for not having a case, but only if you have a stand, which we're going to get to in a second.
Right.
But I still think you want to have a case for putting the thing away when you're not using it. So seriously consider getting one when they come out. There should be, we've already seen cases released. We actually saw cases being announced even before the thing shipped, like days after the iPad itself was announced.
Right, that's true. And I think there's companies that were willing to ship you an iPad case even before Apple was taking pre-orders.
Yes. Yes. So there should be some case options already available. They may or may not be at the Apple store, since Apple's kind of funny that way. But they'll be available for order online at the very least. And we should be having some case reviews that we'll be publishing once we actually have cases and iPods to definitely test.
Right. Yeah, so I'm sure a lot of the cases that we're going to be reviewing are in the mail even as we speak.
So we've got your home, your coffee shop, your travel. All three uses we think people are going to want are going to want cases.
Right.
So the next thing for your home use and or your office use would be
a stand.
A stand. And why is that, Jeff?
Well, that's because if you're going to be using this where you need to be viewing it all the time, having it in an upright position will make it easier to look at.
Well, I think that the people are going to be using it more often than not on their laps in the home.
That's true. But, you know, if it's going to be on your desk when you're doing other things, maybe with your desktop or laptop computer, having it in a stand means it can be charging because it's connected to your computer. And you can be using it, say, as a photo frame.
So photo frame, as a clock,
right?
As a music player, there are going to be all kinds of apps that will display information on your iPad when you're not using it.
Right, and so if it's in an upright position, easier to see and get at.
Yeah, so apps like Glance from our friend Mendelini.
Oh, right.
Right. You know, they've got, I don't think they've released their iPad version of that yet, but I know it's in development. But they've got an app for the iPhone that, you know, it's got different customizable modules on what is going to be displayed, you know, like basic weather information, clocks, and things like that. There's going to be other apps like that, too. There's always John Martellaro's, he's like giddy as a schoolgirl about, what's it called, mini apps?
Right. Yeah, he's very excited about that.
Yeah, he's all kinds of excited, which is, again, sort of customizable modules. Basically, they're apps within an app so that you can do more than one task from within an environment, sort of like fake multitasking.
Right, and sort of like having the feature that I don't use in Mac OS X.
Exposé?
Dashboard.
Dashboard, yes, of course. Dashboard. And so if there, like, you know, to me, I'd love, because I'm an information junkie, if I wasn't using my iPad, once I actually get one, I would have it displaying both the time, because I don't have a clock radio. My iPhone tends to be my alarm clock, and I wear a watch. So, you know, I'll check one or the other when I need the time. But if I had an iPad and I wasn't using it, it'd display the time and the weather. Absolutely, the time and the weather. Maybe some headline news and things like that too. I think lots of people are going to want to do that, and you need a stand if you're going to do that.
Right, and if you're planning on using your iPad as more than just a content delivery system, you're going to be inputting information into it,
mm-hmm.
and you're planning on doing it at a desk.
Mm-hmm.
Having a stand will be nice because then you can keep your iPad upright, so it can function more as a display.
If you're using a keyboard with it.
Right. So I guess we can kind of mix that stuff together, the whole keyboard thing now. So if you're looking at getting a keyboard, Brian and I were talking about what would be the best way to do that. And since we're saying get a case, you have to take your iPad out of the case to use it with the dock keyboard that Apple has. Mm-hmm. So you might as well get the Bluetooth keyboard.
Describe that, what that device is.
Okay. So the Apple has two docks available for the iPad. One is just a little dock stand that holds your iPad upright. The other one is a dock stand that also has a keyboard built into it, so that you can use a full-size real keyboard when you're typing instead of relying just on the on-screen keyboard, which is great if you have a lot of typing to do.
Right.
And both will charge your iPad and will synchronize with your computer because of a USB cable on them. But you have to take your iPad out of its case to put it into a dock, either the little stand dock or the one that has a keyboard built in. So if you're planning on using a keyboard, we're suggesting you go with a Bluetooth keyboard instead so that you don't have to take your iPad out of its case.
Right. Yeah, the little stand and keyboard, I think that little – the keyboard stand – keyboard dock, I guess is what it's called, would be handy if you were going to try to type with it in a very confined space. But I personally wouldn't want to have the display that close to my fingers, I don't think. And I wasn't aware of it until Bob pointed out. Let me actually quote from Bob's review.
Okay, please do.
So the keyboard dock, and he has a picture of it, is nice and works as advertised, but there are a pair of issues you should consider if you wish to use one. The first issue is that if you use an Apple iPad case, you will have to remove your iPad from it every time you wish to use the keyboard dock, which is what Jeff just said. Trust me when I say it's a hassle and you don't want to do that. The second issue is that you can only use it to type in portrait mode. If you want to turn your iPad 90 degrees and type it on a physical keyboard, your SOL, which stands for SOL. Bob, by the way, actually did get one of these ahead of time, and we had one of the first hands-on looks at the device anywhere on the interwebs.
That's true.
And we have a link to it in the show notes.
Yes, we do.
Do actually think about that. I think the stand and a Bluetooth keyboard, or even there should be at some point some keyboards with cables coming out at some point.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I mean,
considering Apple has that little adapter kit,
mm-hmm.
So it's the camera adapter kit, which includes two attachments. One lets you read SD camera cards, and the other one has a USB port on it.
Right.
So at some point, someone's going to release a whole connector thing that works with that.
Right. Right. If you're going to be using your iPad to do things like type, be it emails, there are a lot, especially if you're doing lots of emails, or, you know, do actual writing, like, you know, the Great American Novel, that sort of thing, you're probably, to me, I think that a lot of people are going to want to do that with the stand and keyboard.
I think so.
But I don't think that you're going to be happy. You certainly wouldn't want a standard keyboard if you're actually trying to use it while you're traveling. I don't think you need to mess with it in that scenario.
Not unless you plan on doing a lot of writing while you're traveling.
Yeah, but yeah, that's fine for the hotel room, but like, can you imagine trying to use the standing keyboard?
Oh, no,
like in a plane or something?
No. So here's how I visualize me using the iPad and keyboard in the whole travel scenario. So I get on the airplane. I'm traveling somewhere. Never fails. I need to be writing something on the flight out to wherever I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
So the iPad comes out. I put it on the little food tray or seat back tray. And I use its on-screen keyboard and I do all my typing and work. When I get to my hotel, if I need to do more, then I'll pull out the Bluetooth keyboard out of my suitcase, connect that to the iPad, and then finish my typing.
That makes sense.
But I couldn't imagine like if you're in your office or your home and you're going to do a lot of typing on an iPad, not having a keyboard for it.
Right. Right. That makes a lot of sense. So the third thing we think that people are going to want is a pair of earphones.
Right, because the iPad doesn't ship with any.
It does. Unlike the iPod and the iPhone, it does not. And that's because you don't have to have earphones to actually use the thing. But we think that a lot of people are going to end up wanting them. And that includes for your home. That includes for using the device at a coffee shop. And that includes traveling with it. Now everybody's going to be different there. But I think that most people are going to find at one time or another they need a pair of earphones. Now, the reality is that most of the earphones you already have are probably going to work.
Right. So that means there's a good chance you don't have to spend any extra money on that. So that's one less surprise for your pocketbook. One fewer surprise.
It's one little step for a man. So you may not need to go out and buy some. You should try them. You know what I don't know, Jeff? And maybe you do. If the earphones for the iPhone with that third extra connector, if those will actually... The third extra connector on the jack.
You know, everything... Actually, yes. Yes, they will. And I'm certain of that because Apple added the iPhone earbuds to the accessory list for the iPad on their online store.
Got it. Well, that could be interesting if and when some applications make use of input. The sound input.
Yeah, actually, I noticed this afternoon after iPad applications started showing up on the App Store that what's the one that does the voice dictation? It's like Dragon Speak.
Yep.
Does that sound right?
Yep.
That was updated for the iPad this afternoon.
Ah, excellent.
So we know there's at least one application that will be available on Saturday morning that will let you use whatever microphone input you have for your iPad and speak right into the thing.
Right. Right. That makes sense. That makes sense. So, again, we kept coming back to these four things, really. Being the only things that most people are probably going to want. There's a case that's for everybody. There's a stand if you're planning on using your thing primarily at home, but there's going to be times when you're not using it, or if you need to type on it. There's earphones, and then there's a dock with a keyboard, or a dock and a separate keyboard.
Right. And that, yeah. Now, it'll be interesting to see what other kinds of accessories start coming out where people go, oh, my God, I really need that.
Right. Well, you know, I think we're going to end up seeing a lot of third-party cameras that are aimed at the iPad market. Because I think that you will have people who are wanting to do video chats with a device. But they're going to find that that they'd rather have a third-party camera that doesn't jostle on your lap to begin with.
Oh, sure. I wonder if someone's going to make a case with a camera built into it.
Yes. I think someone will end up doing that.
So spake Brian, so shall it be.
Yeah, exactly. So say we all.
So say we all.
And so, you know, we're going to have some dedicated hardware things like that are appearing, but I don't know how many sort of general purpose third party hardware accessories are going to find much market demand other than the things we just talked about.
I bet there will be something, but we just don't know what it is yet.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Okay,
ooh,
go ahead. Go. Ooh. Go.
some kind of protector so that people can't use that massive 178 degree viewing angle to peep at what you're doing.
Okay. So like a little hood thing, or maybe a screen protector that is polarized in such a way that you have to be looking straight on.
Of course, screen protectors. How did we forget screen protectors?
We forgot because neither of us have one.
That's true. Yeah, and there are already screen protectors already shipping.
Right.
And screen protectors, we're talking about overlays that allow you to still touch your screen and do what you need to do, but that, you know, protect it from fingerprints or make it easier to clean or protect it from scratches or whatever it is that they're going to do. Just like with the iPhone, although I personally have never bothered with one on my iPhone. I just occasionally take my sleeve and wipe the fingerprint oil off of my iPhone because I'm a boy.
Okay, so important health tip for everyone. Don't lick Brian's iPhone.
Definitely not. But I know a lot of people do use screen protectors. A lot of people are actually very, 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 very keen on using their screen protectors. But I've also never put a scratch in either of my iPhones.
Yeah, I'm on my second iPhone, and the glass surface is completely unscratched.
It's hard glass. It's a good quality glass.
It is. And I did use a screen protector on my original iPhone for a while. And then when I got my iPhone 3G, I tried a few of them so that I could talk about them. But they would only stay on for a few days. Not because they fell off, but because I really didn't like them. So I would take them off.
Right. That makes sense.
And then now that the iPhone 3GS and the iPad have an oleophobic coating on the screen, for a lot of people, that whole thing about needing to have a screen protector to help keep it clean may not be an issue.
Right. But I do. So it would be interesting if there were screen protectors that actually reduced the very awesome viewing angle that Apple has worked so hard to provide.
There will be.
There probably will be. Yeah, there probably will be. And I definitely think there will be some hoods. Oh, you know what else I think that someone will end up introducing?
A what?
Some kind of sling cradle device that will gently rock your iPad to sleep.
Now you realize someone will have to write an application to go along with that so that it uses the built-in accelerometer to be able to sense when you're rocking it.
Right.
So that it will go to sleep.
Go to sleep, sweet iPad. Go to sleep.
Okay, that was a little creepy.
I don't know what you mean.
I'm sure you don't.
You know, we'll also probably see some, maybe some microphones.
Yeah, I think that's very possible.
But again, I don't know. We're still talking, targeted audiences there.
Yeah. Now, I think the market for skins for the backside of the iPad would be a very big market.
Faux show. Yeah. There should be a lot of really cool skins. And there's already some companies that do great skins for iPods and, you know, MacBooks and MacBook Pros and iPhones,
you know,
and everything.
I talked with Jello Skins and Music Skins
Is it Hilo Skins or Jello Skins?
I've always said Jello Skins.
I know, but I think it may be actually Hilo.
Someone let us know. I'm sure someone will let us know.
Someone will let us know. We would appreciate it, actually. Of course, we could just call and find out.
Yeah, but I like the interactivity when people let us know.
But yeah, Hilo does sound cooler.
It does sound pretty cool. Okay, so the mystery consonant Eliskin company and Music Skins, I talked with both at Macworld Expo, and they both told me that they were working on skins for the iPad.
Got it. That makes sense. All right. So we have a sponsor this week.
Sweet. I always love it when that happens.
I do, especially when it seems to happen more than once. And it is the fine folks at Citrix.
Yes, with their Go to Assist Express.
Right, and Go to Assist Express is really for controlling your Mac or your PC. But no, we're guessing that even though this is the iPad pre-launch mega extravagant extravaganza.
Right, right.
That you probably have either a Mac or a PC. We're just guessing. And we're thinking you probably have a Mac. We're just saying.
Yeah, it seems reasonable. You have more than just your iPhone or iPod.
I do, yes. You do, too.
See, I do, too. Yeah.
Yes, and we're thinking that that applies to you, too, and we're looking at you, sir.
Yes, we are. And your girlfriend, we've been looking at her, too.
Yep, that's okay, though.
Well, you know.
I'm sure the fine folks at Citrix really appreciated that particular detour, but that's okay. GoTo Assist Express is software that basically allows you to control someone else's computer with their permission, of course, with their express explicit having clicked and okayed it permission, so that you can, you know, either show them how to do something or fix something, you know, the kinds of things that many of us do all the time. For our friends right. and family.
And we have to go to their house or their office to do it.
Right.
And with GoTo Assist Express, you can sit at your desk and connect to their computer securely.
Right.
And then do those things that you would otherwise have to be there in person to do.
Right. Be it, you know, help them find those files, maybe help them use Time Machine. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Using Time Machine to it's like, no, dude, I set you up with Time Machine 6 months ago, so, you know, all those pictures of the birthday party are not gone.
I wonder if you could use GoTo Assist Express to teach someone else how to use GoTo Assist Express.
That would be
so you log into their computer
awesome.
and then use their computer to log into someone else's.
Yeah. That would be
I bet you could.
That would be fantastic. So Citrix, by the way, this is the same company that's done GoToMyPC and GoToMeeting, which, you know, they've been doing this for a while, and it really does seem like they know what they're doing. And the whole point of GoToAssist Express is to make it really simple for the person on the other end.
Right. All they have to do is click on a link that shows up in an email that you send to them, and then it initiates the secure connection. They don't have to install anything. It's like magic.
Yeah, just about. And we would like you to try it, because you can try it for free for 30 days. And all you have to do is go to assist.com/machine. That's for Context Machine. It's a very special page. Tells them that we sent you, and we would really appreciate it if you did just that.
And they'll give you the special Apple Context Machine treatment. And that's a good thing.
It is. It is a good thing. And, you know, so, you know, of course, there are some folks that have to fix computers for their work. And a lot of us help our friends and family all the time.
And it works great for both.
And it works great for both. So, you know, check it out. The fact that you can check it out for free is great. And, you know, they've been sponsoring us now for a couple of months. And, you know, we appreciate that support. We just, you know, all these companies that help support Mac podcasts are good companies, and you should support them, because they make this sort of thing possible.
Yes, they do. So thank you, Citrix. We love you guys.
Yep. And we want our listeners to show them some love. Alrighty, so let's get back to talking about the iPad. What time are you showing up at your local Apple store?
I'm showing up at two Apple stores on Friday night.
Are you using GoTo Assist?
Actually,
Express?
I wish I was, because that would be so cool. But I have to be there in person. So, but I could use GoTo Assist Express from the stores to connect to my computer in my office.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
Yes, you could. So you're going to which one first?
Okay, so on Friday night, the night before the iPad is released, I'm going to go to the Boulder Apple store, because that's an outdoor store. It's on a mall, and people are planning on hanging out and camping overnight so that they can be first in line. Yeah. Oh, actually, last time that I did that, it was for the iPhone 3GS launch, mm-hmm. and some guy showed up with a car that had like extra batteries and stuff in it, and they had a big flat panel TV in the back.
Nice.
And they opened up the hatchback, and they had an Xbox, and we played Rock Band.
That's fantastic.
It was awesome.
And that is fantastic.
One of the security guards that was there for the mall hooked him up with a guitar, and he's playing too. It was really awesome. It was a lot of fun.
And we're really sorry that we have now gotten him fired.
Sorry, man.
Now that is cool. So you're going to go there. You're just going to see what they're doing on Friday night.
Yeah. So I was planning on visiting them probably around 9 o'clock at night, and then hanging out for as long as seems appropriate, and then I'm getting up.
Man,
on.
Why is that Jeff guy still here?
See, and that's when I'll know it's time to leave. Because it won't be appropriate anymore, so I'll leave. And then on Saturday morning, I'm planning on showing up at the Flatiron Crossing Apple Store in Broomfield, and I'll be there probably about 8 o'clock because the store opens at 9, so then I can be talking with people and hanging out in line and getting some good photos of people getting to come in when the store opens and picking up their iPads.
Right.
And depending on how everything goes, I will run back up to the Boulder store after I'm done at Flatiron Crossing just to see what's going on up there.
Okay. That makes sense.
So you can find me Friday night at the Boulder store, Saturday morning at the Flatiron Crossing store, and then probably late morning, early afternoon, I'll be back up at the Boulder store.
Okay, that makes sense. And I'm actually going to be manning the news desk on Saturday, covering anything or publishing anything that Jeff or our other writers come up with.
Cool. So maybe I'll be able to crank out an article quickly on my iPad, because I'll be picking mine up on Saturday morning, and then I can send it to you.
And which actually seems like a good time to point out why it is that I won't be getting one, because I said at the top of the show that I wouldn't be getting one. And it's not because I don't want one, because I do, because they're cool. It's because I'm going to actually wait and get the 3G one. We got to have someone with the 3G ability in the company so that we can test it. So that means I have to wait a month.
That's right, because the iPad with 3G doesn't come out to the end of April.
Right. So once again, for you, our fantastic listeners and readers, I have to sacrifice. It is such a sacrifice.
It really is. I mean, you have to wait while
everybody else gloats.
Yeah, and it's going to be horrible for you, because come Monday morning when we're all back in our comfy chairs, mm-hmm. and in our offices working, I'll have one on my desk. John Modellaro will have one on his desk. Mm-hmm. Dave Hamilton will have one on his desk.
Everybody. But, actually, I think every staff member at TMO will have one except for me.
Well, that's right, because Ted Landau gets his on Saturday.
Yeah, Bob already has his.
Bob already has his.
Nancy's getting one. Vern's getting one that I think. Yep, everyone. Everyone but me. Everyone but me. But that's okay, because then run, I'll end up having the one with the 3G coverage. And if I wanted to, I could go somewhere without a Wi-Fi connection, which I, you know.
That's true. I will be bound to Wi-Fi networks if I want to do something that goes beyond my iPad.
You know, I think that's going to end up being okay for the vast majority of iPad owners. I don't think there's going to be that many people who need the 3G connectivity.
You know, I think for me, the 3G connectivity will be more important on my iPhone, because the things that I will be doing when I'm away from a Wi-Fi network, mm-hmm. at least the way I'm envisioning it now, are more likely to be the things that are more appropriate for my iPhone. You know, I'll be doing quick tweets, I'll be texting people,
right?
You know, quick email checks, that kind of stuff, which is what my iPhone is great for.
Right. Right, you know, which kind of comes back to what Steve Jobs was saying. Could they make a device that does some things better than an iPhone, some things better than a smartphone, and some things better than a laptop? And you know, I think that a lot of people are going to find room for an iPad in their techie lives, even though they have either a smart top or a lap phone. I love my smart top.
Yeah,
I mean it's no lap phone, but it's cool.
But it is a pretty slick smart top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole thing with laptop or smartphone. Mm-hmm. All right, I already have both. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be throwing an iPad in the middle. Mm-hmm. And each one of those devices has a place in my workflow. And there will be times when I will travel with just my iPad and iPhone. Other times where it'll be the laptop and the iPhone. Sometimes just the iPhone. And I bet, like, for Macworld Expos, mm-hmm. I'll have all three when I travel.
Yeah, sure. Sure. I think that will be. And now, I would really kind of once again want to steer our listeners to read Bob's review. It's a really in-depth review. And if you're wanting to know about this thing before you get it, that's going to be your source.
Yes, and there will be a link in the show notes.
Yeah, I think we pretty much have what I believe is the most comprehensive look at the device.
It's really nice. It's a great look at what the iPad is and what it's capable of doing.
Right. Alrighty. Well, got anything else that we should talk about on this thing?
Let's see. We've hit. You need a case. We've yep. talked about what type of keyboard you might want.
Yep.
We've talked about stands.
Yep. Talked about earphones.
We talked about earphones. We've even mentioned that there's a bunch of apps already showing up at the App Store, so there'll be things ready when people get their iPads on Saturday.
Yeah, and at this point, I should probably point out that it looks like there's going to be a massively multiplayer online role-playing game of sorts. But since the company didn't bother to respond to my questions, I'm not going to tell you about it now.
So you'll have to wait until they get around to getting back to Brian.
Until they can be bothered to actually give us some answers so that we can give them coverage. It's really annoying. Yeah, but there are already games showing up. There are already utilities showing up. There are already existing apps that are adding
iPad support.
iPad support to them.
Yeah, I noticed a bunch of applications that I have on my iPhone were tagged with updates this right. afternoon.
By the way, now this is I'm springing this on you.
Okay.
Bill Oki wrote to me to tell me that he was comparing the size of the Universal apps, which basically include both optimized iPad support and iPhone support. Mm-hmm. And he was comparing the size of the Universal versions to their pre-Universal versions.
Okay.
And WordPress went from 1.1 megs to 3.3 megs. Solitaire City Lite went from 4.9 megs to 15 megs.
Wow. So it's, in some cases, it's like having two applications in one bundle.
Or three.
And in other cases, even more.
Yes. Dragon Dictation, 1.2 to 5.
Cool.
IMDb, 1.7 to 3.1. 300 Bowl went from only went from 4.1 to only 5. So that was just some sampling that he was doing on his system, and I literally got this right before we started recording, so I hadn't even told Jeff about it. So it is an interesting issue that the Universal apps are bigger, and they're bigger in part because they are containing information for the iPad's larger display.
Right. So that will include additional graphics.
Yeah, additional data and graphics.
Additional data, yeah. All right, so those numbers are bigger than I expected.
Right, but it's going to be like someone who's iPhone only or iPod Touch only is going to find that they have less disk space for their music.
That's true.
And, you know, ooh, for those who are addicted to apps, and we're looking at you again, dude.
And me. You're looking at me, too, aren't you?
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit. Yeah. You know, you may actually just find that you have for less of your app, fewer of your apps.
Huh. So, okay. So, knowing what I know now, I'm really glad that I ordered the 64 gig iPad. Hmm. But now I'm kind of worried about what's going to happen with my 8 gig iPod Touch and then my 16 gig iPhone.
You're not going to carry your iPhone, your iPod Touch, and your iPad, dude, are you?
No, but I have a lot of the same applications on all three devices. Well, on all two. Soon, all three devices.
Yeah, but I bet your iPod Touch goes just... I bet you stop using that. Why would you even still use it? except for the test stuff for TMO.
Well, okay, so I do use it for testing stuff for TMO. It's been working as my proxy iPad.
Yeah, so you're gonna stop caring about it. You're gonna end up selling that one.
No, I won't. Well, for two reasons. First, I'll still need it for testing stuff for TMO. And then second, I really, really like it, and I just can't bear to part with it.
Fine. All right, freak.
And
you have a problem.
I know. I certainly do. I am addicted love. to my sexy technology.
Right. So what were we talking about? We're talking about app sizes? Is that how we got off on this tangent?
Yes. Yes.
And you're glad that you got the 64 gig? Yes, that makes sense. And I guess I don't know that I have too much more to say, but it's definitely going to be an issue that affects some folks. Now, I know, for instance, that I took this trip that of course we've already talked about, and for that trip, I put everything that I could music wise on my iPhone. And by the way, the band that I had the most music of was The Church, one of my favorite bands. And
nice.
It was interesting when I put together everything that I wanted to take, and then had to start taking stuff off until I had room for it, because I only had the 16 gig iPhone 3G. And when I was done, I said, "Huh, I wonder what band I ended up getting the most of," and because there was no intentional effort to put more of one band or than another, and it ended up being The Church. But anyway, I would probably have lost at least another album's worth if I updated all the apps that are already out.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So it looks like I'm going to have to start worrying about some of my storage management on my devices to account for the larger application sizes.
Yeah,
you sprung that on me, so I can start thinking about that now instead of, well, actually, after I plug in my iPhone and do all the software updates that I have
right
later tonight, I have a feeling that would have become a very real issue for me.
Right.
So now I know.
All right. That is the iPad pre-launch mega extravagant extravaganza from the Apple Context Machine.
It is. And, this is the part where I go, if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to ACM
pew, 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 pew,
at MacObserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to Steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. And hey, feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me at twitter.com/TMOBrian. That's Brian with a Y. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And our theme song is Push Me Under by the Atomic Love Bombs. That's all for this week.
It is. And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
Trapped by lies that we don't know. I can't see.